I mean, you got one more day, one more day, one more day in the work week for most of you. So I hope y'all having a great day. All right. Hey, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? I'm happy, happy, happy. Okay. Anyway, I had to get that out. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? All right, y'all. We got a great show planned for you today. And today we're going to be asking you the question, what is life? Now, you know, and before I go and get deep into that, you know, and before we get deep into it, you know, every day we go around and we say terms like in this lifetime, you know, or during our lifespan, you know what I mean? But have you ever sat down and really gave any thought to the actual question, what is life? You know, what is life? What does that entail? You know, we have death. Well, you have birth and you have death. But something in between that is called life. And my question today is, what is life? You know, what is it? You know, that's what we'll be talking about today. So while you give you think on that a little bit, here's the ways you can be a part of the show. You can call in at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join us in our chat room where the conversation always off the chain. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, all one word, and you can be a part of the show there also. Okay, now I have gotten that all out the way, you know. We're going to give you our Black History notes because, you know, this is Black History Month, and we're going to give y'all every day. We try and give y'all a little nugget about accomplishments of black Americans that contributed to this country. Now, I got some stuff here, man, and I didn't even know this, and I'm sure some of y'all don't know either, but here it is. All right. Now, you know, everybody has to have a cell phone now. You know, you can't walk without your cell phone. A lot of people can't even live without the cell phone. Well, were you aware that the cell phone was invented by Henry T. Sampson in 1971 and by a black man? Did you know that? I had no idea. Henry T. Sampson. Wow. He invented the cell phone. I mean, you never know. Huh? Did anybody really know that? I know I didn't, you know. And then we have Jay Standard, who invented the refrigerator in June 1891, another black man. Ain't that something? And then we had Frederick M. Jones, who invented the motor the thing that gets us around all the time. And he invented that in 1939. So those are just three African Americans that have invented things that we still use today. We still use today, although some of them are more improved than what they had then. But yet, that's the thing. This is the type of history that we're never taught in school. You know, even though we have Black History Month, everybody concentrate on Martin Luther King, you know, people like that, you know. But, you know, sometimes you have to go back and really pay attention to your history and find out what really happened. You know, like, I'm not even going to say this. W.E.B. Du Bois, everybody thinks he was this great, great man. But I know a secret about him that y'all don't know. Did you realize that he was actually a spy for the president, the white president of NAACP against his own people with his newspapers? See, y'all didn't know that either, but I'm telling you. See, and like I say, sometimes you got to go back and read and dig, and you'll be surprised at what you find. So those were your Black History moments for today. And now let me bring in my beautiful co-host, who's always got a nugget of knowledge for us, and you just can't get away from her because she is just that good at what she does. So without further ado, let me bring her in. Sister Ngoni. Oh. Hello, co-host. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Eric, and I see you are too. Bubbly again. That's great.
Yes, yes, yes. I tries. Oh, you know, but it's interesting. What did you think about those little nuggets there, especially the last one?
Yeah, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that history. I had read some facts about inventions over the years that were credited to our ancestors and so forth and so on, but the last one I hadn't heard about, W.E.B. Du Bois.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think about what you read?
You know, it was an eye-opener. It really was. It really was an eye-opener when I read that. I'm like, wow. You know, and even in his autobiography, we're talking about W.E. Du Bois now. In his autobiography, he never mentioned any of that, but why would he? You know? And everybody, and, you know, those that actually, you know, tell of his story, they never mention it either. So it was very interesting that when I read that, it really opened my eyes. I'm like, wow. You know, it's just amazing. And that's why I always say you need to read. You need to read. You'd be surprised at what you find out. So, you know, that was a shock to me as well. Okay.
Yeah. Reading is a very important activity, and I wish there were more hours in the day to be able to do it.
I know, right? I know. Well, I know you got a lot on our topic today because we talk all the time, so I know you got some good nuggets for us. But, of course, before we get to all that good part, we got to get on with our Thursday music mix because I know my music director has really put something together. Because she was bobbing her head when she was doing it. So I know it's something good. So without further ado, y'all, it's that time for that music mix. And I hope y'all enjoy it. See you after the music. Here it is, your Thursday music mix.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is so gray. I went for a walk on a winter day. I'd be so safe and warm if I was in LA. California dreaming on a winter day. I stopped into a church that I passed along the way. Oh, and I got down on my knees, down on my knees, and I pretended to pray. You know the preacher, he likes it cold. he knows I'm gonna stay. California dreaming on a winter's day. Oh, oh yeah.
I don't want to give you up. I don't want to hold you up. I don't want ambiguous. I just know that I'm hard enough. I want you to come with me. Take it loose and let your mind go free. Show you things that you never see. But you just got to go with me. Oh, enough is
I think I like that. And now the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life, where trouble is a bubble in the champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same, and we gonna do it like this.
Got an addiction for life in this baby, like every day is my birthday. No, but I'm getting can reserve the time.
Y'all, that it was your Thursday music mix, nice and mellow. I guess I couldn't get all hyped today, but it's okay. That was nice. I like that. That was nice and easy, and you still got to bob your head a little bit. That was my take on it. Anyway, I like that. What about you, co-host? You got that mellow mood today?
That was smooth. Yeah, that was really nice. Thank you, Mr. Director.
Yeah, but y'all know I'm bringing the funk tomorrow. I'm just putting it out. I'm bringing the funk tomorrow, so y'all make sure y'all catch up, because we rocking tomorrow is Friday, and we going to get busy. All right, so that was your music mix, your Thursday music mix, nice and easy. And I guess that goes along with the topic, you know, nice and easy, life. Anyway, so, without any further ado, once again, that was your music mix. Now it's time for the quote of the day. And my co-host, I know she got a good one for us, because, you know, sometimes she give us quotes of the day, and what happens? We take and do a whole show on just a quote. That's how good these quotes are. So without further ado, let me bring her music in, and here's your quote of the day.
Uh-oh. Strap yourself in.
Here we go.
Did you hear me, Eric?
Oh, I heard you. I'm waiting on the quote now.
Okay, are you strapped in?
I'm strapped in.
Behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes.
Oh, I guess the question comes, why is she rolling her eyes?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, is it something he's done great, or he just done screwed up and she has to? Wow.
That was a teaser, Eric.
I know, but I enjoyed that one. I really did. But
I,
you know what, let me...
It.
I know. Let me back up for a moment, because, you know, I played the music. I forgot to tell y'all who it was. It was Queen Latifah, California Dreaming. Colin Bailey Ray, Closer. The System Don't Disturb This Groove. Anita Baker, Caught Up in the Rapture. And Neo, Champagne Life. So those were your songs for today. Oh, Lord have mercy. But okay.
Are you ready? For the real quote of the day, Eric?
Okay, I'm ready for the real quote, because I know there's a woman behind me rolling her eyes right about now. But yes, let's go and get on with the quote today.
I got you, didn't I, Eric?
Yeah, you did. You got me. But let's go for it.
Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like. Lao Tzu.
All right. And that was the quote of the day. Wow. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. Don't resist them. That only creates sorrow. Let reality be reality. Let things flow naturally forward in whatever way they like. Well. Life is a series of natural and spontaneous changes. That you know, that is really interesting there. And then it says, don't resist them. Now, go ahead. I know you got something to say before I put my 8 cents in on this. Will you go ahead and tell me, expound on that a little bit for me?
Well, if you want to go first, I'm good with that. But if you want me to go first, I'm good with that too.
Yeah, you go first. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I've run across some teachings that say, you know, it's like life is like flowing in a river, you know, and if you put yourself in the canoe and put your hands and your legs and your arms in the canoe and let life's stream carry you where you're destined to go. Now, you can turn the canoe around, and I'm referring to when it says don't resist them. You can turn the canoe around and paddle as hard as you can trying to get where you think you need to go, but that usually creates sorrow. That's how I see what they're saying.
Okay.
Been there, done that,
Eric. Been there, done that, huh? I think we all have been there, done that once or twice. And then actually, I'm sure some of us tried to resist it and turned around once or twice before we ended up in the same down the same river all over again and learned from the first time to let it go, you know. But I do like let reality be reality. You know, that is, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be, basically. You know, let it alone. You can't change it. But, you know, and I'm glad you picked this quote right here, because here's where I'm going with this. You know, we have many, many, a plethora, a new word I learned, of quotes like this regarding life. You know, and as I mentioned before, you know, we often say lifetime, lifespan, the span of life, and things of that nature. I mean, we have all this wisdom, but between life and death, there's a thing called, between birth and death, there's a thing called life. And have we ever sat down and really thought about what is life? What is life? You know, we have all these things is a series of natural and spontaneous changes, but what are those spontaneous changes? What makes it natural? You know, what is life? I know everybody have their different take on it, and that's why I'm doing this show today, because I want to know, what do you think life is? You know, what is your philosophy? What is your theory on what is life? I mean, we do it, apparently we do it every day, but have you ever thought about exactly what it entails? You know, what causes it to be, quote unquote, life? So that's where I'm coming from today. So I know, I mean, it could be both spiritual or just physical. Oh, what is it? You know, that's what I want to know. What is it?
Isn't it both, Eric?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. That's what I'm trying to find out. So,
isn't it a container?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Isn't it a container? A container of many things?
A container of many things. That's a good way of putting it. Oh, I know it's something. Hey, I have this clip I want you to hear, and we can come back and talk on this one too, because it's a clip of a nine-year-old boy talking about what he thinks life is. And I found it so interesting, you know, that I had to play it for y'all. So, but I think it is kind of a container, but a container of what? But anyway, I'm going to play this clip real fast for you. And my goodness. And we're going to come back and talk to y'all about this clip. All right. So here it is, a nine-year-old talking about life.
We're on Earth, and the Earth is just one planet in the galaxy. You can compare that to an ant on the patio in this backyard. The ant doesn't know that there's more than the patio here. He just keeps walking. He doesn't know he's just part of of lots of worlds. And the human race is sort of like that. After they've discovered what's up there, they know they're only a little part of the huge galaxy. I think there probably are many different kinds of life forms, cells and organisms. Some may not be visible, some may not have been discovered, and some may be on places we can't go. And they all might have the same perspective as we do on this, that there might be others, and that maybe they can find them someday, but at the moment, they don't know. But you never know for sure if there really is anything in the search. It's an endless quest without knowing what your quest is. I think it's realistic at the same time as it is fantasyful. Yeah, just very complicated, because you have no proof that there's anything out there. The only proof is yourself.
Right.
And where you are in the universe, and you can only make theories. You can never know the truth. That's one of the hardest questions there is. I would say what the meaning of your life is what you make it. What you want your life to be. Nobody can decide what you will do except for you. You have in control over yourself. You may not be lucky enough, and the odds may be against you, but
so you
never definitely know that you cannot do this. It may be predestined, but you can change that destiny.
Oh, well, that's tricky. But it's good to know.
I mean, I might be wrong. It might be just scheduled, like some play or something, and you act it not knowing that you're part of it. But all the same, maybe destiny is just telling you. Maybe you just know it, and that's what destiny is. Destiny is a guess of what you know, what it knows about you, and what it knows you would do. But then again, I might be wrong, and destiny could be totally in control of you. Well, this idea is a wiffle ball bat.
Okay.
Training up for the season. In my opinion, baseball is one of the things that is the most special in our lives. But the reason that we play sports is very necessary for the entertainment and for the suspense, because we do not have that kind of suspense in our lives. Art and music are another type of the art that is, in a way, visible at the same time. You can hear the sense of color, in a way, in your mind.
So when you listen to music, do you see colors or hear colors?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Like, you might listen to a piece of music and you might say, that sounds like red.
Yeah.
All right, that was a clip I played for y'all, 9-year-old talking about what he believes life is. And I thought, you know, when I found this video, I thought it was really interesting how he kind of broke it down, because I had never thought about it that way either. So it was very interesting. So, he mentioned things like an endless quest and destiny and self-journey, and I mean, life is being a part of a larger universe. You know, it was just interesting. I really thought it was. So what do y'all think about that? What is life? Is it a self-journey, or are we predestined for whatever we do in our life? I mean, what is it? What do you think there, co-host?
Well, he sounds like a very intellectual little 9-year-old boy, that's for sure. I picked up some of his statements. He said, you can never know the truth. So that leads to a question. That's solipsism that says that there's no objective reality. And, destiny teaches that there's no free will. And I don't know, I'm saying there is or there isn't. I'm just saying what I picked up in what he was sharing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even after he mentioned destiny and stuff, he did mention it's being like an endless quest. So is life an endless quest until the day we go to wherever else we go to? You know, is it an endless quest? Is it a quest at all? You know, honestly, is it a quest? Or is everything predetermined for us already by the Almighty? And, you know, we just following a routine that's already set for us.
Well, as I was saying, if you believe in destiny, then there's no free will.
Mm.
I mean, in my understanding, what do you think about that?
You know, I would I would like to say, even though you're destined for, if there is destiny, you know, I would like to think you still have free will to change it. But then that is like a contradiction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing to me. That's something I contemplate all the time, you know. These are ideas that have been with us probably for thousands and thousands of years. So I'm sure I'm not going to figure it out today.
Yeah, I don't think any of us going to figure out today. But life itself is a very interesting thing. Can it be said that life is, how can I put it? Because we just spoke about destiny, but in that whole thing, is it like a part of self journey as well? You know, can it be something that we are constantly seeking the answer to, what is life, or to, I guess, to make our so-called lives happy? Is it a self journey, or is it a group journey, however you want to say it?
Perhaps it's both.
Both? Why would it be both?
Well, where did we learn how to say one thing, it has to be one thing or the other? Did we learn that somewhere along our life journey? If it's one thing, it can't be another thing. Maybe we exist in different dimensions at the same time.
Some people think that. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, learn, because I think we have never learned exactly what life is. Now, we go through the motions every day of what we think is a part of life, but what is life? You know, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, I was saying, what is it then? You know, we continue to go through this every day, go through our routines every day, what have you, and every now and then something be thrown and we're changing. But from the day we're born, you know, we learn from what we see, basically, and what we talk. But has anyone ever sat down and really answered the question, what is life? Do we really know what life is?
Well, Eric, you said you said something about learning. Well, I think life is something you learn about as you experience your life. I don't think anybody else can teach you what life is. That's something that you have to learn about through your experiences, in my view.
Okay.
You can read about things. You can read about spirituality. You can read about physical life. You can read about utilitarian things. You can read about, like I said, perhaps life is a container.
Right.
Such as, eating, sleeping, loving, buying, selling, pain and pleasure, so many things. So you experience things as you go through your life walk, and then hopefully you know something about life when you're getting close to the checkout lane and you can review your experiences. Whether you need to come back here and do it again or whether you can move on to someplace else.
Wow.
I don't know.
Now, I mean, yeah. that was a good point. That was a very good point. You know, I don't know, man. I'm just curious. I see we have someone with their hand up, so let's bring them in and see what we have going on here. All right, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have?
Yeah, hi, this is Mr. Solution. How are you?
Well, hello, Mr. Solution.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just heard you guys asking this question, and so life. It says, this is right out of dictionary.com. The condition that distinguishes organisms from inorganic objects and dead organisms being manifested by the growth through metabolism, reproduction, and the power of adaptation to environment through changes originating internally. Now, I think you need to distinguish. Are you talking about just organic life or social life? That's very, very important. And then a secondary definition is the sum of the distinguishing phenomena, that is things that can be observed, of organisms, especially metabolism, growth, reproduction, and adaptation to environment. And I'm going to say that is the one, the last one, adaptation to environment, where most people have trouble. We don't have a problem. I mean, any coroner, in fact, that is the authority on life and death. You know, they bring out a coroner to officiate, make it official whether an individual is dead or not. But most of us have an idea of organic life. It's just adaptation to the environment where many people fail. And that is a social construct where we have to learn what it means to really have life. Now, Christ made the statement, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And obviously that's a comprehensive life, you know, organically, life spiritually, life, you know, economically. And the greatest struggle of most people throughout history and even today is developing and adapting to the economic life of their particular environment.
Okay. Okay. Do I hear anything else? All right. Well, Mr. Solution, that was we thank you for that explanation. But you said organic versus social. I mean, you know, like Sister Ngoni was saying, doesn't that kind of all fit into one?
Well, no, because if it did, and if you go to the Constitution, I was discussing this with one particular hick, kind of wannabe racist, several nights ago, and I quoted the Declaration of Independence, which I consider part of the Constitution and actually the foundation for the U.S. Constitution. All men are created and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we're talking about equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. So if you look at various groups, and all one has to do is just go around and study the groups, only pride and ignorance would inhibit one from doing such, and just find out how they live and thrive, what life means to them. It means pretty much. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But that's okay. Well, life means, thank you, life means pretty much the same thing to all humans. I mean, you can track this, you can catalog this. I mean, why do we go to school? Why do we work? And why do we accumulate wealth? So all of those things are normative to human beings. If you look at people, and I study with a lot of immigrants who come to the U.S., they leave everything virtually, all their culture, to come to a new land. Why? To get wealth. That is the primary reason that they leave their homeland. to live a better life. To live a better life. Yes. Hello?
Eric? Eric?
What happened? He may have dropped off?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
If he did, I'm sure he'll be right back with us. I was just thinking about what you said, Mr. Solutions, and I think it can be stated that science really doesn't know what life is either, and because a coroner pronounces you dead doesn't mean he really knows you're dead. That's just that's just where we are in our understanding of life. I mean, they've mapped the genome, you know, the genetic, they've done the genetic project, and now they're playing around with trying to digitize our DNA, and I understand they've done several experiments and so forth, and they've even added a chromosome to the DNA. But can we really say that at the point that we are now, science knows everything about everything?
Well,
you're
asking different questions now, and I know you're a sharp lady, and what you're doing now, okay, let's go back to the first thing you said. And none of us are perfect, you or I. I mean, we can exercise perfection at specific times and in specific areas. But the point is what is most practical and what is most useful? Generally, when the coroner pronounces someone dead, they are dead, okay, because this person has the tools, they've studied the human body, respiration, and this sort of thing. So what you're saying, and you have to really critique yourself, is the exception that proves the rule. It's not the rule, it's the exception that proves the rule.
May I clarify, Mr. Stop Solutions?
Sure.
My intent was to convey that at this point, science doesn't know everything about everything. So, yes, the coroner pronounces us dead, but since science doesn't know everything, they haven't even determined when an embryo constitutes life, whether it's when the embryo in the at a certain trimester is considered. That question hasn't even been answered. You know, there's a debate going on about that as regard to, you know, when is a life after it's born or while it's in the womb. So that's where I was coming from. Does that help?
Okay.
Hello? Are you there?
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I think it's the rain. No, you draw a good point. And look, I've said in classrooms, had you finished?
Yes.
I've said in classrooms, and what you need to do, see, I'm a man of action. That's why my namesake is Mr. Solution. I can separate the academic or the theory from the actual. And we do, and because you're so sharp, and the questions are fine. I have no compunction or reservations about the questions you're asking. But, like, if I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm trying to get investments that are actually going to grow for me, I want definiteness, okay? I don't want speculation and theory. Now, sure, one does their due diligence. And this is true in anything. If an engineer built a bridge, and a civil engineer, and they could never say if this bridge is available to accommodate traffic, well, we would never have bridges. So at a certain point, we do have to take a position, you see? And that's all I'm saying. And that is the hallmark of an effective, successful person. They can make a decision and take a position. And so that's what I would say to you. But if you just want to be esoteric and, you know, dabble in theory, I hear you. I understand that sometimes a coroner may miss the vital signs of life. Not often, but it may happen. But does that mean person's job is not crucial? No, So I think that's what I would share with you, and as a person who is resolute and who operates on definiteness. Does that make sense?
Well, I thank you for your feedback, but once again, let me clarify. Okay. I tried, but I'll try again. Okay. The questions you asked were rhetorical questions, only to illustrate that science does not know what life is. They don't know everything about life. That's my point. Now, you call that being esoterical and not taking a position. Well, okay, I'll give you that. But you see, life is not just material. It is also spiritual, and it depends on how one chooses to pursue life. Some people are very utilitarian in their approach to life. Others are mystical. So there's not one size fits all. So I would even reject the idea that any one person could define for another what life is to them.
Well, okay, had you finished? But see, that is a position that is untested. And so you now, would you consider yourself a successful person in life?
We're talking about what life is today, not whether I consider myself successful.
They're one and the same. But see, this is the. I'll go ahead and answer the question. If one is successful in life, it's just like a tour guide. They can tell you how they did it. I don't want a tour guide giving me theory on where the things might be that I'm expecting the tour guide to know definitively where they are.
But
now, I understand everything you're saying, everything, believe me. But I'm saying one has to look at its, like you use the word, utilitarian value versus, purely academic or theory.
No, you see, it wasn't versus anything. It was inclusive of both. That's where you're getting. See, we go back to the beginning when you said, or rather it was Eric who said, is it this or is it that? I said, well, perhaps it's both.
That's where I would differ with you. It has to be something that we take a position on. It's called
approach to life, Mr. Solutions. That's your approach to life, and I honor it. My
you
point
broke
is,
up. You, okay, you said that's my approach to life.
Absolutely. Because and
I
that
would
doesn't
say
mean,
that's virtually every successful person's approach to life.
Okay, well, if you want to qualify it that way,
yes.
I respect that. That's your right to do so. Someone else can qualify as being a shaman or a mystic, or somebody else might want to live in the woods and only live in nature, and they may have a wonderful life. So I don't think I am in a position to make any judgment of that. That's all I'm saying.
But you're making one now. You just made a judgment.
I'm only sharing my thoughts about life. I'm not telling anybody.
Right. Well, Eric, Eric, are you there now?
Yeah.
Okay, do you understand the point? If you're going on a trip, or in a place that you don't know, that you're not familiar with, and a person steps forward or you contact a person who's supposed to know, you don't want theory at that time. You want that person to know what they're doing, just like a doctor. If you go to a doctor, you want that doctor to have some skill in what they're doing. Now, I understand it's a practice, but the point is, and it's a matter of, where a person wants to take it and how they are going to capture life. Not just talk about life, but capture life. They have to take a definitive position. And that's why, if you ever read the book Think and Grow Rich, by Napoleon Hill. Go ahead.
Okay,
hold on.
Let me bring another caller in that wanted to get a piece of this. We're going to welcome Mel to the show. Hello, Mel.
I'm
you there? Yes, you are.
Yo, hello. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing fine.
Reading.
That's really good. Really, really, really good. I'm glad to be here. So what have you guys been discussing today?
Well, we're asking a question. What is life today?
Life. Well, to be honest, I've sorry, I've got a bit of a You know, it's a bit of cold. Today I've realised that I've decided to follow, like, my own sort of ways, and there's this own guy that I really do appreciate, and that I do, like, he shows me the way through life. You might know him, or you might not. I don't know. Do you guys think I'm talking about?
Well, you're breaking up a little bit, Mel. You're breaking up. Okay. We're going to have to put Mel on the side right now until we fix his mic. But let me bring in Antoinette. Hello, Antoinette. How you doing today?
Hello, Mr. Talk. I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. And Okay. Hello, Mr. Solutions and Sister Argonia and Mel.
Greetings.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
Excellent.
Good, good. Happy to hear that. Mr. Solutions, my take on life is it doesn't have to be what you may consider successful, as in measuring it with material things or how much income you have. You know, people have different philosophies on their life. It's an individual walk. It's an individual thing. And I think that it's a problem when people measure success by their definition or society's definition instead of what that individual person's purpose is. I mean, because if that's the case, I mean, if you're not in the 1%, then you're not successful. So your life has no value.
Hmm.
Well, I've never heard that before, if you're addressing that to me.
Yes,
I've never heard if one is not a part of the 1%, they're not successful, because that wouldn't make sense.
I said if you're measuring it on material things
right. And
the amount of income that a person has.
Right.
And everyone has to be a part of, in order to have a life that is to be successful. I mean, my measure of success doesn't have to be measured by my income or what I have in the bank or where I live. You know, it's measured by what I hold it to be. I mean, some people, you know, are happy pushing a cart around and they consider that life.
I don't think that's true.
Why not? Mm. You know, as long as you're walking and you're pushed in the wheelchair or whatever, but as long as you're breathing, that's life.
Well,
you know, so who are we or anyone else to say what life is to another person?
Well, you raise a good point, Antoinette, and I would just say this to you because, you know, it just depends, like you say, on what the person has learned, how they've been socialized. But if you look at any of the teams, you know, and I often say this, just reviewing the very thing we're talking about now, in areas that it really doesn't matter, we have extreme definiteness that is like with the sports team. I mean, in the grand scale of things, who gives a damn which team wins? But yet they have a standard. But yet they have a
standard. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, and I'll just finish. They have a standard that is clear to everyone. 45 to 34. Boom. Now, my position is people who adapt a standard where they can measure where they want to be and achieve it. You know, if you're on a team, you can't have this kind of, you know, independence. You've got to work as a team. Your body works as a team, as an integrated team. And so even though we can theorize and talk about this stuff in the way that we are, it's just like if a person asked me how many corners does a circle have. Now, the language permits them to ask that question, but I know they have no concept of a circle because that's a square.
Huh.
right? Or a triangle. So that's the
correct.
Point I'm making. That's all.
But what I'm asking you is, Mr. Talk, a bum on the street
yes.
still has a life. That's his life. It may not be everything that he wanted it to be. You know, a prostitute selling her body, that's still a life.
Hmm.
You know, how we measure it and how someone else measures it, that's up to them. But who are we to say that that's not life? It doesn't
Very
have
good.
To be successful. You know, it can be bad or it can be good or it can be in between. You know, a person may not feel all of their goals and dreams in their life, but it's still a life. It's still life.
Yes, it is, Antoinette. Let me jump in here a little bit. You see, at this time, I understand that in this society, they're using actuaries to determine the value of other people's lives as to what they so-called contribute to society. And so there are some people who have put themselves in the place of the Creator or our God to decide who's worthy of living and who's worthy of not living. We see that acted out on the earth at this time. Life is both random and deterministic. It's not one or the other. There are things we don't know, regardless of how intellectual we might think we are. That doesn't denote intelligence, because intelligence also includes creativity, which can't be measured.
Hmm. All right. That's interesting. But let me bring James in. He's been waiting patiently from Chicago. All right, James, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good, good. Well, I just wanted to say that the system right now we have is definitely not life. You know, this whole going to work 10, 12 hours every 5 days out of the week just to survive and to pay for your house or for your mortgage or for your car note. That definitely isn't life, I'll tell you that much.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but does life have to be measured by your income? Does it have to be measured by, you know, your living? I mean, if you don't work, you know, for some people, if you don't work, then you don't eat, then, you know, but it's still life. You go to work. Yes, ma'am.
And he didn't say it wasn't life for everyone. He said he doesn't feel like it's life.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry,
James. I misunderstood you. You're correct. I'm sorry.
He's not imposing his view of life on everybody else, see. He's just sharing his.
Yes, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
You don't think other people have been brainwashed to believe that's life for them as well? Like, maybe do they even have their own mind at the same time when they've been, like, polluted by this certain type of thinking that society has probably brainwashed them since they came into this world? So what I'm trying to say by this is, does anybody even have their own mind to think about what is life anymore when they've been brainwashed by everything around them?
I agree. I agree. That is true, because we have been systematically brainwashed from the time we came out the womb. So I agree.
Dick. Mm.
Okay. Those are very good points, and I kind of have to agree with the brainwashing from birth. But let me bring Mel back.
What's up?
Hey, Mel, what's going on? Mel back to the show, and I'm going to bring Mr. Beasley in also. All right, so welcome to the show, Beasley, Mr. Beasley, and Mel. What are y'all take on the subject today?
I don't know. You guys are certainly taking way out there.
That's your open fact, man.
Hello, Beasley.
Good evening.
Welcome
taking way out there. Antoinette's got it. You know, life is life.
Wait.
Life is life. What you
life
made
is,
it. Ice Cube life. Said life ain't shit but bitches and money. But
exactly.
He probably has a different perspective now as he gotten older.
Going to join another one.
Okay.
But life is not easy, and life is going to be a struggle. And it really pains me to hear a young man that's 22 years old or claims to be 22 years old that has already thrown in the towel, that is fixed against him, because it's not going to be easy. I don't want to play. Because everybody's brainwashed, and because there's a there's a system set up, and I don't really like it. And I'm just going to sit here and pout.
Yeah, nah.
That ain't life. That ain't life. That's a cop-out. That's
no,
a cop
that's the life a person
yeah, that,
chooses
that's
to
life
live.
Of a cop-out.
So do
a
I, sir, so if I come into this world, and if at a certain age after being brainwashed and people trying to get me to believe in a system or to or believe in a way of thinking, and if I choose to like not try to engage in that system or if I want a different system set
then
up.
Then what you are, all right, then what you are is a bum, because I've told you this before.
Mr. Beasley.
What?
Mr. Beasley.
Let me speak.
Why do you have to attack this gentleman for sharing
because
his views?
Because he's talking. Someone needs to shake this kid up and wake him up to reality.
Well, I think
let
that
me
if
tell
you
why. Let me tell you why. Because someone has
that.
To feed. Because you
why
have
do you
to
always
eat,
have to attack everybody?
You need shelter because I'm mean. If you don't like it, too bad. Because
everybody needs shelter.
Everybody needs shelter. Everybody needs some food. And everybody needs some clothing. Those are the bare necessities, and those things cost money. So if you're going to sit on the sidelines and complain about everything and not even try to get those things for yourself, that means someone has to be taking care of you.
And how do you know that he's not doing those things for himself? You're making a lot of assumptions, Mr. Beasley.
Yeah, because he said going to work.
Why are you waving the flag defending him? He's a grown ass.
Because
grown.
That's his life. That's the life
but,
that
but
he chooses.
But who are you guys to come defend him?
Who are you
Beasley,
to come?
Who are you to come to attack him?
Oh,
that's
give
his
me a
life.
Break.
That's
hey,
his life. Does
my,
his
my
life have to be measured
one.
Up to your standards?
And I'm just stating my opinion.
Stop yes,
the young man.
I'm
trying to save him. I'm trying to wake him up.
Okay, let him speak for himself then.
It's not even
wake me
about
up from
him.
What, though?
He's already spoke for himself.
He just asked you a question, Mr. Beasley. Wake
I
him up.
I ain't answering no questions. And I don't like your tone, Sister Ngonya. You be nice.
So you don't have
back.
To listen to it.
All right.
It
all
right.
Right. I sure
right.
don't.
Enough. All right.
But the way I think a lot of these people that wanna always down talk on people that have a different opinion or that are against the system that's in place, they always want to attack you and say, "Oh, well, you're a bum," or "Well, you're irresponsible," or you know, you're not gonna, you know, you're soft, you're mentally weak or whatever. But these are the same people, since they feel that they cannot defeat the system that's been in place for so many years or whatever. These are the same people that they rather just, you know, conform to what the system or to what they've been brainwashed to believe because they're too scared to actually be responsible enough to say, wait a minute, you know what, I want a different future. I want a different future for my kids and for the future generations. So in order for that, I got to sacrifice, you know, I got to really, like, sacrifice in order to change the system and to have a better future for my kids. That's what real responsibility is about, you know?
Mm.
Well, you're 22, sweetheart.
Yes.
You know what? Now, later in life, as you get older, your views may change. But for right now, you know, there are successful people who have a lot of income.
Guys, you know, I'm just going to go on.
Houses
like,
and everything
I'm
else, and they're successful.
Like,
they, their life is measured
stop,
as
stop
being successful. And they're pedophiles.
No, I'm
they're
not.
They're raping people. They're murdering people. But because they're successful, then they get excuses made for them.
Hmm. Wow. Good point. Mel, are you there? I keep hearing you coming in and out. Mel, are you
Mel,
there?
Hello. Am I here?
Yes.
Yo, what's going on? Have I been coming through all the time?
Yes. Do you have anything to add to the conversation?
Well, I think that this other guy is completely and utterly wrong.
Okay. What other guy? And what are they wrong about?
I don't know. I just don't like the way they speak and, you know, the whole you know, aura. You know, I bulb see it as like some sort of, you know, as a sort of thing. Do you know what I think life is? I think life is about being successful and making money, if I'm going to be honest. Thoughts.
And that's what constitutes life for you?
Yep. 123%.
123%.
I'm almost squirtling about it, mate.
Mm. So let me ask this question then.
I'm meta positive.
So with all this being said, so basically what we're saying is life is basically not predetermined, and it's a separate journey, correct? Is that what we're trying to say?
Yes.
All right, Pounder, how do y'all feel about that comment? Anybody?
Oh, one more thing. And I've got Pokemon Black, and I'm trying to complete it and become a Pokemon Master at it. And that's my life at the moment. And at the moment, I'm 33. So, you know, this is what... that's my goal in life at the moment, to become the Pokemon Master at Pokemon Black.
Here's my question, though.
Thank you, Mel. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like people in this world, all they want to do is gossip about other people and only tackle on problems they feel that they could take on. But when there's like a bigger problem, a bigger issue that they feel that is above them and they feel that they can't tackle, they don't want to take on it. They don't want to take on the problem, and they rather just put up barriers and not even talk about the problem. That's how I feel.
Hmm. Okay. But isn't that what you basically, you just said that you're, you know, you don't think life is, you know, working 18, 19 hours a day and things like that. And now you're saying, okay, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
No. What I'm saying, sir, what I'm saying when people like this guy, Beasley, he was saying that I was irresponsible and that I was a bum. Okay, and that he says that we need to be conformed, you know, basically saying that you need to get with this program and not. So what I'm trying to say by that is that people just want to just say, you know what, this is the way it is, this is the way the system is, and this is what life is about. So be happy with the system or not, or else, you know, you're looked down upon in society. So with that said, is why can't people talk about building towards a different, you know, something different? No, they don't want to talk about being against the system because they feel they can't defeat the system, so they rather say this is what life is. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Okay. I can understand.
Mr. Solution, that doesn't make any sense, what he just said. Number one, Beasley made an excellent point. Maslow's hierarchy of needs talks about fundamental things that humans need, food, shelter, and clothing. Either you provide that for yourself or someone else has to do it. There's no way of getting around that. Do you see any way of getting around that?
Nobody is arguing against what you're talking about, sir. We're just saying that. So you want to be drained like a battery 10 hours a day, every day for the rest of your life?
Well, work hard, and no, there are ways to work normatively within the system to avoid that. Sure, you're going to have to work hard at first, unless your parents or someone else gives it to you. Do you want someone to give you something without your earning it?
And so you want to? So you think it's normal to go to the bank?
No. Could you answer my question first? Do you want someone to give you something without your having earned it?
No, but whatever I earned, it's not going to be, does it have to be with me going to a job and putting in, let's say, 10 hours a day?
I didn't get that. I don't understand what you just said.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I'm saying that you don't have to work hard. When people are talking in the Bible, when it talks about working hard or working hard,
the Bible.
Sir, working hard is not based off on going into a job and clocking in 10 hours. That's not real. That's the system that's set up for you right now. That doesn't mean, that's not what it is. That's not what humans were intended to live. You know, you're not intended to go into an hour and be 10 hours a day working like a slave, getting your, you know, like a Duracell battery, man, getting drained out.
Well, wait a minute. You have that little saying there. How do you expect to live? You're 22 years old now?
Yes.
Okay, how do you expect to live an autonomous life? How do you plan to support yourself from this day forward? Or have you thought about that?
Well, like I said, the way it is from the way that it was intended for humans to support themselves and work hard, wasn't it to be self-sufficient? and to live off natural resources and to work, you know, I guess farm and all that, and to plant your own crops and to eat off the crops and to, you know, so you don't think that's the, what work was intended for you as a human?
So are you going to do what you just said? Are you personally going to live by doing what you just said, growing your own food, being self-sufficient? Are you going to do that?
If I tried or if I, I would like to, but guess what though? What's up with your government now? They're putting out these laws where all food has to be genetically modified, the seeds genetically modified. So stuff is not natural anymore. And you gotta
go. Unfortunately, someone has brainwashed you with a bunch of nonsense.
Oh, it's
and
nonsense.
You're
so I guess so this law on GMO is nonsense?
Well, the fact that how are you going to support yourself? You haven't answered that yet.
Hold on.
At all.
I don't understand. I'm not gonna attack him, but if you don't believe in the system, then who gives a fuck about the laws? If you're
right.
if you're gonna do your own damn thing, do your own goddamn thing. Go get you 12 hoes and be a pimp. You know, go get you a big sack of dope and sling dope. You know,
well,
go be a bank robber.
But I'm, hey, hold on, sir.
You're going to have to do something.
Not too.
But you're going to have to
advise that, Beasley.
Sir,
but
maybe
if you're going to make up your own rules and you're not caring about society and you're not going to conform to society, and there are many years that I didn't conform to society. I don't
well, let me show you a the way that
hold
everybody
on,
is conforming. We're
hold
using
on, hold
English.
Hold on, Mr.
Words.
Solution. Hold on, Mr. Solution. Let me ask this question. Is it, you know, I hear what the young man is saying, not quite understanding everything, but I hear it. But in this situation, isn't it his choice to live his life like as he wants to?
Okay. Yes,
and not
absolutely.
Not according
but
to
see,
and not according to society's standard. I think that's basically
okay,
what you're trying to say.
Of course it is.
Okay, let me know when you finish because I want to knock that the hell out the park.
Well, I'm through. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, see, his decision has to be really his decision. That's just like a child standing up and telling a parent they want to be independent while living in the parent's house. He needs a plan to support himself, and I like what Beasley said. He used the essential essence of reality, food, shelter, and clothing, unless he's going to be a bum, and even then he's being defined. And so he has to have a plan, not just a BS crapola expression, but he's got to really state a plan as to how he's going to support himself. Even if he lives off the grid, and he has not done that, he's just talked a bunch of mumbo-jumbo and gobbledygook.
Sir, it sounds like mumbo-jumbo to you because you've been brainwashed what society thinks that this is, you know, that this is the way of life. So they've been brainwashing you to believe in the society and the system for a lot of years and a lot of decades. So now you think that this is the way life is to you and this is reality to you. You get
but
what
at
I'm 22, saying?
How do you know you haven't been brainwashed?
I know I've been brainwashed by your system. I know, but I'm trying to overcome your system. I can't even do nothing to get off the grid because you lames are going to come in and say, oh, this guy's trying to fish for his own food. He needs a fishing permit. Oh,
no,
you
I'm not.
Do this?
You no, I'm not. I'm not
no,
going
you're
to.
You're not, but guess who is?
Well, you're not talking about me, though. You have to talk to them. If anything you can do to support yourself where you aren't hurting anyone else, I'm for it. So do it.
Not me. If you were to
yeah,
if
but
you
the
were
government,
to,
listen, but what about the, why don't you talk about the government putting up these laws and these barriers so that people won't be off the grid and self-sufficient? And that is true. You cannot deny
okay, but
that.
You have to understand you're meandering
you care
with
about
your
laws
argument.
For? I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get it why someone cares about laws. If you don't care about the system, you don't care about the system. That's cool.
Exactly.
So fuck
they
somebody's
go together.
Laws. Fuck somebody's laws. Fuck the police. Nobody's telling me nothing. I'm going to do it my way. If I want to plant corn in Grant Park and set up a teepee in Grant Park in downtown Chicago, that's what I'm going to do.
That's right.
Okay. Hold.
Yeah,
hold
yes,
hold.
Of course, but I am
okay.
saying yeah, I know.
Hold,
I understand what you're saying, too. Yeah, it is. Fuck the law. I do agree
right.
with that. But
Wait a minute. Hold on. All right. I understand what y'all saying, but here's my question. You know, I hear what the young man is saying. I hear what Mr. Solution and Beasley is saying. So my question is this. With all this going on, isn't that a part of what life is? Isn't that a part of it?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, somebody else answering?
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask him to be more specific to me as far as what he's stating. A part of what? Part of what? A life.
Is it everything with y'all discussing now, being self-sufficient, you know, or the government coming in, or the laws, isn't that a part of life? Isn't that what life is about?
Well,
as we are made to believe?
It's a part of life, Eric, but the young man is saying that for him, it's not a comfortable life. That's what I hear him saying. Correct me if I'm wrong, young man.
Sir, you ever seen that movie In Time?
Yes, I've seen it. So, women, hold on.
Hey, that
so
basically
what
is
that,
how this life, that resembles a lot, to my opinion, it resembles a lot to how this system has been set up. Now, you may look at that movie and be like, oh, it's weird, you know, but then come back to this life and think about it. Well, isn't it very similar to this one?
So my question is, Eric, okay, he's sharing with us his perspective of life. And and so, you know, like it was stated that if, you know, someone else said if they wanted to plant a garden in Chicago or wherever, they could do whatever they wanted to do. But the reality of the situation is there's been two cases that I'm aware of, one in Georgia and one in Michigan, where they were fined $5,000 for planting food in their own yard. So, you know, it's easy, you know, to say what you're going to do, but then like this young man is saying, there's a system set up that really imposes itself on us.
Okay.
And I don't know if we were created to be workhorses. Is that what somebody's saying, that that's what life is about? That because we need food, clothing, and so forth and so on, that we should just accept being slaves? Is that what life is for?
Well,
actually, let me respond to that. Actually, there are remote places, even in the United States, most of the land in the U.S. is not settled. He can go to those places and live off the grid.
He didn't say anything about rural areas. He said Chicago. So that was
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is he's talking against the existing system, okay? And all I'm saying is he can go out in the wilderness. And some people do that, by the way. Mick Dodge, the legend of Mick Dodge. There's a PBS reality show. This guy lives out in the wild in the Washington State area. So people who don't want to live within the confines of the social norms, they can live off the grid. No one is stopping him.
Huh.
I'm
but he
sure
really hasn't given a plan for living. All he has done is oppose the existing system. He has nothing to.
What he's doing is expressing his uncomfortable situation in life, and perhaps as he is able to conversate and express
when are you going to be on, man?
He may come to a conclusion that he might want to do just that if he decides to.
Hmm. Hey, that's fine. Yeah. We're both expressing our positions. Yes.
Right.
Okay, so,
all right.
So
let's see. I have.
Do you,
go ahead. I have
Mel.
Are you there? Or Zach?
So do you think that you think the system that's in place and making you live and work for your dollar every day, do you think it's normal, though? Do you find it normal, the life?
Who are you addressing the question?
To the host of the show.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, James. Can you repeat the question, please?
Do you find it normal the way that this system set everything up, that you got to work basically till you're 50, 60, 70 just to wait till retire and I guess, and then all these problems, you got these people need hip replacements. They need wrist surgeries. They got all these problems, they've been working and they can't even retire, do you think that you should try to strive for success or for comfort in this system when all that's happening? Or you don't think that you should be able to try to unite with everybody and try to defeat the system or to try to find another way? You don't think that that should be your duty as a, you know, as a human being?
Go for it.
Wow. Now, you asked a whole, you said a whole lot then without really saying nothing. Well, here's the thing. You know, and I think we've stated this a couple of times already. You know, from birth, you're taught that success is the main goal of life. You know, so if that's the case and that's the philosophy that you're actually working with, then that is what it is. Now, if you happen to awaken to the reality that it's more to life than that, then, you know, you can be successful without, quote unquote, being in the box as far as what successful is to the to what society is today. So I say it depends on your knowledge and what you really want to do. You know, which means, you know, life, I think life is a separate journey in itself. You know, so that's my answer. You know, it depends on really what you want. I mean, you can't say, well, this is a bad thing that everybody's getting hip replacements, but that's part of life. It is. And it depends on what you consider success. A lot of people aren't rich and never will be rich, but they consider that their life they are successful. You know, so it just depends on what your definition of life is. Now, Mr. Solution say organic or I forgot what the other one was, social. So it depends on what you're striving for. Whether you're trying to make it organic or you're just trying to do the social thing. I don't know. But hold on, let me bring a couple of callers in here. Let me bring West in, Wesley, and area code 111. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing there, man? I want to get a little bite of this. I think my younger brother, he going through something I went through when I was like 22, where everything I was told from the church to the government to everything is fake and it's a lie. So I think that's what my brother going through right now. He just going through that. That's what you call the new generation. They're a little bit more aware than what we are. We've been conditioned to the system now. Some of us 50 and 60 years old. Well, we just trying to go along and get along. We tried to do all that. My brother said he did 20-something years ago. But hell, man, I got beat down and beat down. I said, fuck it, I got to eat. So I just had to do what I had to do. And Mr. Gomer, what you say something in Georgia got caught trying to grow something in their yard? You know where that's at in Georgia?
Well.
Hello.
Okay. Yes, Mays.
Yes, can I speak today?
Yeah, I want to ask Ngoma a question. She said somebody in Georgia got some charges for growing some vegetables in their own yard. Could she elaborate on that a little bit further?
It was just a case I read about some time ago where it was in the news where a lady in Michigan and a man in Georgia were fined. And from what I understand, those are local ordinances that they put out. And also it's the Agenda 21 thing that's going on. There was also cases where children were shut down selling aid and garage sales and just a lot of regulations and things going on. You know, things that we used to do freely are now coming under severe, you know, regulations. That's all
I
know.
Like you said, they don't want children to bring their own lunch to school. They want to eat their school lunches. Remember that? Remember you read that?
Okay. Well, okay. Hold on, Wesley. I see where you go. We ain't trying to get there right now. Go ahead, Maze.
Yes, life is what you make it. You can make it or you can break it. And this system is made for you to live in it the best way you can. And everybody don't have to be looking for a rock on every stone, because I'm not trying to be like Wesley Snipes. If you're not breaking the law, don't worry about the law. And then you got different audiences in different places in New York that are growing guns on top of houses. And ain't nobody chickens in the backyard.
Well, at some point,
is this
people are going to get tired of this.
Wesley, can I finish? And then it's the nastiness to deal with when you're talking to some people. So the nastiness needs to go.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. So at some point, everybody don't believe in all of that stuff. Some people are happy with the life that they have because they're breathing on this planet and having a good time in life.
Okay,
and
hold on.
You don't have to have nothing.
Let me ask this question then. Is life predetermined?
What?
Is life predetermined? Do you believe life is predetermined? And there's a set route that you have to go in life. Do you believe it's predetermined? From your birth to death, do you think it's predetermined?
Oh, yeah, with your DNA. I mean, your DNA determines who you're going to be anyway.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'll
take a shot at that, Eric.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good question, by the way. Actually, some parts of life are determined. I would say that most people conversing here now will only speak English. English, obviously, is not the only language. Most people here now will never leave this country, not for any extended period of time.
You don't have to leave this country to know to speak another language. You can see five different languages sitting right here in this one.
Wait a minute. Okay, that's okay. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm responding to Eric's question. Some parts of life are predetermined, like the social structure in which you're born into. You were here because your parents are here, for all intents and purposes. But there are other things, and we call this synthesizing. You can put things together that will make things better for you. But, you know, something the young man said, now I'm over 40, but I never had the work ethic that he has. I always had the, I'm going to go out there and get my share. And I did, and I do. And so I think that is a defeatist idea, you know, because life is, let me say another thing that's predetermined, competition. There is going to be competition between other people and with the environment itself. Your very milieu or in your atmosphere is competing against you. You've got to eat at a certain time. Your own body is competing against you because it's going to get hungry. So certain things are predetermined, yes. Certain other things, and we call that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the individual has a stake or say in, and that's where you really want to be. You want to be in the zone to where you call the shots.
Well,
does that make sense?
Most of the people never left the country and came back to the country because they didn't like where they went.
Yeah, well, what
so
I was doing
this
is
country never came back because they were not satisfied with it.
And you know, others came back because they had a family and they knew enough about life to know how things were set up. They knew they didn't really have any money, so they knew that if that money was devalued, they'd be over there starving to death.
Some go and come still. When they want to go take a trip, they go to other countries just to enjoy and come back and enjoy this side of this earth.
Yeah,
if I may, I wanted to try and get confirmation from Eric because I was responding to his question about predetermined and that which of life which is not predetermined, if he's still available.
Obviously, he isn't at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Well, some form of competition.
Oh, I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know. I responded to your question about the predetermination of certain things in life and certain things that we have the liberty to influence. I don't know if you heard my complete answer.
I did.
Okay, well, how do you come down on that?
You know, I actually agree with you. It made sense. To me, it did. You know,
okay. Something,
you know, especially when you said what the environment that you're born into, you know, that whole thing right there really did make a lot of sense to me.
Because, Mr. Todd, the environment you want in don't mean you have to stay in it. You can leave and get out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
When you joined the military and you left and you came back, you was in a different environment because you wasn't in your country. You could have enjoyed it while you were there, or you could have been sad and stuck in a corner and scared to death. But you came back.
Well,
and that was a different environment in the morning.
You know, okay, Biz, that's a good point. However, huh?
That is the point.
Okay. So, and what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, and you made a good point there, but, you know, even though I was born in a certain environment, as I got older, you know, I did learn, you know, that there was more out there than just where I was, and I wanted to get there. So, you know, even though it's predetermined, I think you can change that a little bit. But, you know, it depends on the individual itself, I would think. I may be wrong, you know, that's the way I'm thinking anyway. But you got a good point there. Okay, anybody else want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, some form of competition is forced upon us, i.e. when you got the people at the top that's holding on all this damn wealth and on this pyramid scheme, and then you got the people on the bottom fighting for the crumb. Now, that is predetermined destiny where they're holding all the wealth and letting the people on the bottom fight for the crumbs, man. And I don't know if y'all read a report by this congressman named Huey Long that came out when he was in office. He had a plan where he was going to cap the wealth that anybody could make, $10 million, that's it. You can't make no more than that. And everybody else, I mean, the money go back, funnel back into the system. Like, you got some people that's getting making $1 million, and they're getting government unemployment and food stamps. I mean, $1 million people getting Social Security and stuff like that. So if y'all read the web of Huey Long, what he was going to do, he said, if everybody's working, you get 2 months vacation free, I mean, paid vacation and all the health care. And that's the whole problem, man, with these people at the top trying to hold all the damn cheese, and they busting everything up. And the people at the bottom just can barely make it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Wesley, for that. Let me bring Lowe in. Let's see. Mr. Lowe, how you doing today?
I am well. Hello, all.
Greetings.
Hey, it's one thing that I did hear that was true. You are kind of predetermined to the society that your future might be predetermined depending on the society that you came up in. And the reason why I say that is, you know, more often times than not, Mr. Talk, you are an example of an exception to the rule, because you had other people, you had elders that did try to guide you in the right direction. You still had a sort of a community / neighborhood type of environment that you grew up in, where you had to respect those people, right or wrong.
Right.
And there are a lot of younger people that grow up in the inner cities, in the ghettos, et cetera, et cetera. You don't talk to people that you live next to. You don't know those people. They don't tell you anything, and they have no influence over your life whatsoever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because they got society where everybody's scared to talk to everybody, man. You got the young scared to talk to the old scared to talk to each other, and it's by design,
well,
man.
Not about the talking. They just don't know how to discuss and have a conversation with people. If you never thought what you thought, you keep it up for the rest of your life. Somebody taught you, you teach them.
I don't.
Well, that go back to your
respect
tone.
The elder, as you say.
Maze, I don't know where you've been in, where you've been as far as traveled or whatever, but I'll say this. In certain places, you don't even look in another person's face.
Yeah,
you don't say, excuse
right.
me. You don't say, hey, how you doing? Because
you're afraid. That's why.
Well, you can call it afraid. I'm not afraid
of anything,
anybody.
I've been places where I wasn't supposed to say nothing to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
If I was afraid, I wouldn't have said nothing. I learned their language, and I spoke to them in their language. That's why I could communicate with them. And nobody ever knew the difference.
Well, like Lou said, man, some parts of this country, man, you see, back in the day, black people used to speak to each other, man. How you doing there, sister? How you doing, brother? Especially in the 70s, man. But nowadays, you walk down the street, you try to speak to a sister in the morning, man. She'll tear your damn head off, man. You just say good morning to a sister.
On how you're looking,
you
well,
say,
it,
look,
doesn't,
I,
it doesn't
matter,
have
man.
To be in the morning.
I done tried that before, man.
You know, I can say this. The other day, I was going in a grocery store, and I held the door for the lady, And, you know, I wasn't expecting for her to say thank you or whatever, but realistically, it shocked me that she just walked in and didn't say a thing.
Didn't say nothing, man. I believe it.
Yeah. And you know, I have been in a situation before where I have spoke to women, and, you know, I don't know if it's from other guys, you know, trying to hit on them or whatever the case may be, but it got to the point where one lady, she just looked at me and went on about it. I said, excuse me. I said, I don't know what your problem is, but I don't want you. I said, I'm married. I was just speaking. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it's just always, you know, men trying to hit on you or whatever. And you know, this, and I'll say it, this kind of goes back to the way maybe how she was dressed. You know, mm-hmm. If you dress provocatively, what do you expect to get?
But and you got some people that's so out here trying to on this grind to get this little bit of paper that they just stuck on their little beastly mode. And they won't speak or nothing, man. You say, how you doing? Everybody got to go get it. Everybody had to get it. That's how they got stuck in the damn snowstorm last week. Out here in the pool, trying to chase this almighty dollar.
Okay. All right. Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. Okay, because we're getting into the snow. Let me ask this question then. And I'm going to ask Mr. Solution. Mr. Solution, here's the question. Now, you see where they've been going with this conversation. So is this... And what definition does this fit in? Is this the organic or the social part of life that we're discussing right now?
Oh, that's clearly the social.
Right.
And what that betrays or what that exemplifies is that there is no standard for normative interaction where women just say, well, men hitting on me. But look, it's very crucial, and it's men's problem, too. I mean, all of it's just really stupid, and it's non-communicative. And men need to say, well, look, unless you're going to approach us, we have to meet. It's imperative that we meet on some sane level. What's it going to be? Are you going to participate in the process as an adult, or are you just going to leave all of that up to the man, and you just play a game? So that's what we've come out of a particular environment. We're in a new era now, and I call it the era, or authors have called it, the era of fulfillment, not the era of quote-unquote survival. And so the thing is that, yeah, we are socialized to be dysfunctional. There's no doubt about that. But within that, having been socialized to be dysfunctional, we can also functionalize ourselves if we choose to. So that's the way I would address that. Men and women, first of all, have a mandate to communicate with each other. How are we going to do it? What's the model?
Let me explain it to you. Every man and every woman that come across each other speak with their eyes if they got something in common and they want to get together or talk to each other.
Right.
And those that don't want to have nothing to do with each other, she'll snap your head off or he'll snap hers off and they'll go on.
Yeah, that's the way I do, man. If
that's
I see a woman, if my eyes,
That didn't come out of the book that came about being around human beings. That's what you do when you're being around people.
But I agree with
you know
on
people,
that.
You see things and you know things, not out of a book. You just know it from experience.
I agree
hands
on
off.
That.
Well, man, you could write what you said in a book down. Would that invalidate it? That doesn't make any sense. But the point is that what has to happen is...
Excuse me, explain yourself.
First of all, what you just
said...
First of all, the insanity that you just stated...
I just
said
it didn't make any sense first. Explain that one.
What you just explained is exactly what's happening. And that's what people are having a problem with.
You had
so all I'm saying is it's going to have to be renegotiated. The contract between human beings.
Well, see, my perspective on this, most people got so much baggage. Let me finish it, man. Most people got so much baggage, so they caught up on their baggage. But I learned, man. Let me recap on what Ms. May said, okay? That's the way it is, man. If I go out somewhere and I see a woman, if my eyes don't meet, I don't say nothing to her, man. But if my eyes see her eyes and we lock on, then I got a conversation. She right about that.
That's being human and it's not being dysfunctional. is being human and knowing where you. If you know what being around people are. But if you book room to date a woman, you're in bad shape.
You're right, man.
That's kind of.
You're right.
That's kind of. Well, that's kind
so
of.
So, do
cool.
you need me to help you out to show you how to get one, Mr. Solution?
I'm
offering my help to tell you.
May I love you, but I don't need you to help me do anything.
Oh, well, do
thank you.
Like I said, that
sound
like
you
said,
do.
That's kind of foolish. I mean,
right,
if I'm walking somewhere and I have to lock eyes with somebody before I even speak to them, that's foolish.
You just said you came across a woman, you spoke to her, and she felt offended because she thought you were trying to hit on her.
What about it?
Now get yours together.
You're right,
work.
Man. That's
you
a cool woman, man. That's the way to pull. You got to pull. Lock them eyes, man.
No. No, that's foolish.
That's the way the game goes now, bro.
Well, it doesn't have to. That's the thing about it. I mean, you know, and I haven't always been a big fan of Mr. Solutions, but I'll give him credit.
You just agree with him, bro.
If I can finish, he tells the truth when he says, okay, you want equal pay. You want it to be tricky. Excuse me, treated the same, but you still want to play the same old game that's from the 60s, 70s, 80s, or whatever. You want me to basically approach you and start the conversation. When if you got all this power, if you got all this power behind wanting the same opportunities and everything else, you got to go out and get what you want, too. You got to be kind of aggressive as far as making yourself available and speaking and being more socially acceptable, because anybody that's walking around with a chip on their shoulder, 9 times out of 10, people just gonna leave them alone anyway.
Yep.
Is that what I said? Or did I say anything different?
You did. I don't know what the hell you said.
You got some
that's
people.
That's why you don't care what I said. Just put it that way. You don't care what I said. And all that happen.
Let me ask the gentleman on the panel something. If y'all was riding down the street and y'all see a woman with her car broke down and her hood up, and she's standing next to her car looking for help, would y'all stop and see if she needs some help?
Oh,
yeah,
hell
I've
no.
Done,
and if she
yeah,
looks like
oh, hell
done
no.
that,
she don't have to be
I've
out there.
Oh, hell no. What I look like? A
we're talking about
the
solution.
Wesley, did you say the gentleman or did you say the woman that keeps rambling on to answer?
Well, I was asking the brothers about this here, man.
Okay, well, I was going to say, yes, I would. I've done that before. And I've helped men before. That's no shouldn't be a big deal.
People suing people up for that now, man. I heard of cases where somebody tried to help somebody and they ended up getting sued for some kind of reason or get some charges or something.
Well, see, this is America where you can sue anyone for anything, and you know that's another story altogether. But
that sure is the truth, Brother Lowe. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah.
I want to bring Antoinette back on the line. Antoinette, you're open.
Thank you, Sister Agonia.
Hello,
Maze. How are you?
How are you doing, Ms.
Antoinette? Hi, Wesley. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Someone had made the statement, and I'm not sure which gentleman exactly it was, that you spoke to the lady and the lady gave you some feedback
I
or something that was negative. Okay.
I made
and you said
too.
That it was because of the way that she was dressed?
I said it could have possibly been because of the way she dressed. Okay, let me break this down to you since you want to come in and attack that. Me
no,
and my
I wasn't
mother,
attack. I'm what I'm asking
me,
you
well,
is.
Me and my mother, which is probably about your age or a little older, were talking, and we both agreed when she was younger, or let's just go back to the 70s, you knew a harlot by the way she dressed. You knew a street woman by the way she dressed.
Right.
But hold up. I don't care what anybody on this phone say.
Finish your statement, brother.
Which is a woman, agreed back then you knew a woman by the way her clothes. You knew a street walking woman. You knew a loose woman by the way she dressed.
Okay.
You knew a woman
thank
that was out there or whatever.
What's
doing the
holding the door for a harlot?
Nowadays, they all dress the same. So,
okay, now, may I ask you this question, please?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I want to
pick on you.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Antoinette. I just wanted to open the line for Sister Ottawa. Thank you very much.
So, Lo, are you saying now that if a woman dresses a certain way and she gets raped, it's her fault because of the way how she was dressed?
How did,
men
how
aren't supposed to have any... Pardon me?
How did I get muted?
Muted?
I was muted. Oh. I was.
I don't know, but could you answer my question, please?
If what happens?
Are you insinuating that because of a way a woman is dressed, if she gets raped, then she deserves to be raped, and it, you know, she gave an open invitation because of her choice in clothing?
When did I ever say rape? Did the word rape come out
no,
of my mouth?
No, I'm asking
okay.
you because you said the way, you know, a woman knows how to dress and things like that, which I agree, you know, women should dress appropriately, but there's a lot of them that don't. I mean, especially the younger ones. But does that mean that it's an open invitation for someone to rape her and then say, well, it was because of the way how she was dressed?
Well, okay, I see what you're doing here. I see the question you asked. I'm not going to entertain the raping part, but I will say this. If a woman walks down the street and she got pants all up on her ass or whatever the case may be, excuse me for saying it like that, and guys standing on the side whistling and flirting and carrying on and catcalling or whatever, then, hey, that's the attention she was expected to get. If she's
so where's the responsibility at in the men?
Where's the responsibility of the
that
woman
that they should
first?
Know how to conduct themselves? I mean, that goes both ways.
If they were taught right by their mothers, that wouldn't even matter to them to see something look like that anyway.
Right. They would just go on and just turn their head and maybe shake their head that it shouldn't even be like that. So,
if,
I mean, the responsibility goes both ways.
If you ask me a question.
Excuse me, young man.
And you have your answer. If you ask me a question, you got your answer already together, then you shouldn't ask me the question.
Well, I asked you the question because I was curious to see what your response was going to be, and you had to take it all the way to if a woman was dressed with something all the way up her behind where you can see her behind, then men are making catcalls or whatever at her, then that's her fault also. But where is the men's responsibility? The responsibility goes both ways.
You asking the question.
Both people should know how to conduct themselves. The man and the female.
If I walk out of the house and I buy some cheap cologne and I put on like 15 shots of it, that's my fault. I did that. And people are walking around telling, oh, man, that cologne is heavy you got on, man. Why you got a lot of cologne? That's my fault. I did that. What is everybody else supposed to do? They're supposed to do like people are prone to do now, just walk around and talk about me behind my back. No.
They're supposed to tell you to your face.
Exactly.
And not back to talking about it. But that's
what
we're talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Not cologne. We're talking about it.
If you saw a regular woman,
you think someone is going to rape you because of your cologne?
I didn't say anything about rape. I don't know. Why do you have to push everything to the extreme?
Okay, excuse me, Brother Lo. Excuse me, Antoinette. I want to invite Sister Ottawa in to talk about her view on life. The topic today is what is life, and she hasn't had a chance to talk on it. Welcome, Sister Ottawa.
Hi, Sister and everyone else. I have some ideas about life. I was listening with the conversation here, and it's very interesting to me because I think our biggest problem, what we're talking about, is right relations, because women today dress for men. And with our situation, with so many of our men being locked up in these prisons and whatnot, sisters are going to strip clubs to meet men. So our men, in a sense, dictate what women put on to be attractive. Now, I think we should talk to one another about what's right. How we would like to see our women. When men, you know, you go out and you choose a woman because she's voluptuous, you never tell her, well, look, I really dig you, and if you cover up your body and not expose yourself so much, I don't want you to dress that way. Put something on more modest. Men don't do that. They don't do that. So young women do what they think is going to attract men, and men respond to it. So just like Antoinette said, where is the responsibility of our community on one another on how we project ourselves? I think it's very important. I think that's a key point. And what Annette asked you was, is it right for a man who is looking at someone that is provocative in her dress, is it right for him to encourage it or to discourage it?
What you're saying is a woman that lower her self-esteem just to get a man? I mean,
exactly.
You just walk around butt naked? I mean, is that our responsibility to tell y'all what to wear?
Yes, you do dictate it. You dictate it. You know what you'd like to see. You all had a conversation about Beyonce on stage. Oh, there was a lot of justification for her to be on stage half naked. People pick up the information. Women pick up the information of what is attractive to men. And
so
we project
like
it
like
in our dress.
Beyonce, right? That what you want to do?
Well, excuse me?
Go ahead, Sister Ottawa.
We all have a responsibility in it. Yes, I remember when men put on shoes and wore suits and ties every day. The men, that's how they dress. You didn't see them in shorts and gym shoes, pants sagging. That's what you see today.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with economics. In the poor community, you go to a shop that sells $6. You can get anything you want for $6. And believe you me, the spandex is going straight up the ass.
Well, let me ask you something. So do you think this younger generation, if women told these guys they're not going to have nothing to do with them until they pull their pants up, you think guys will pull their pants up? If y'all women
I think should happen, brother, is this. Is that sisters should cover themselves, I think. I'm a modest person. I think that women should cover themselves because it is provocative. It does bring negativity towards her. Even if she feels she's not calling that on herself, she's wearing what is available to her. And so she comes out and she's got her spandex on, and you take it upon liberty to say, well, men take up liberty to say what they want to say to her.
She's wearing what's available to her? Are you serious?
You said what?
She's wearing what's available.
In a poor community, young man, people don't have money. They go into the $12 store, the $6 store. And what you find in those stores are tight-fitting clothes that the...
Okay,
it's called if the man don't see him in a tight dress walking down the street and walking past them, they're not going to look at him. Let one come down the street, she won't get looked at all.
Well, I like to say this. I want a woman that dressed like a queen in the streets and a freak in the sheets.
All right, Wesley, you just want to get knocked out. All right, interesting. You know, and everybody has some good points, but Sister Ottawa actually has a very good point. In a lot of instances, they are wearing what's available to them. Is it right? No. But they are doing it. You know, just like, listen. Just like the guys running around here. You know, ain't nobody making them drop their pants all the way down to their knees, but they do it. Why? Because it's available and they can do it. But hold on. Let me bring Michael in. Let me bring Michael in. All right, Michael, what's going on, man?
Well, how you doing, Mr. Tuck and everyone? First of all, I've been listening to a while. I would like to make three good points. Well, first of all, let me get with the title first. What is life all about? Life is about other people. Mr. Talk, someone's talking. I can't.
Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
What is life is all about? It's clear. I laugh at this conversation, and I'm listening to life now. Look at it. So sad. Even me. Life is about other people deciding how themselves should live and other people should live. Themselves and other people should live. One woman says, you know what? All black women should have their head covered and wear long gowns. Another African tribe, they don't wear no gowns. They have butt naked. Look at taboo. Many different cultures and many different ethnic groups. Other people trying to demean somebody when no one is killing them and they're not looking at them. That's what life is all about. We don't know the difference between ethnicity and culture. Just because someone is not dressing like you, you cannot say it's not a culture and it's not an ethnicity just because you look at it and you demean it. Now, Mr. Solution, don't you ever in your life divide anything from social. Life is all about social. When you start a business, when you start a church, when you're in a law firm, I guarantee you, you're dealing with human beings and interaction. Everything starts with social. Now, there are some women who work out in the gym. A beautiful woman that I'm dating right now, she works out. She's on my, look, hey, she keeps me in the gym now. And I'm letting you know she's decent, but if a woman's going to take care of her body, and I'm sorry, Mr. Talk, if that ass is looking right in that gym, when she comes out, you know she's going to wear something with some curves around it. She's going to show it. Bottom line, they're going to fall. And what I'm saying is there's a difference between different tastes. A man has to know his taste. And if you can't handle it, you can't handle it. Just don't pick a woman. If you want a woman that want to cover her head, she don't wear weaves, go find them. There's plenty of them out there. There's somebody out there for everybody.
So what
that's
were
all
your,
I wanted
what,
to say
what,
so
what
far.
Were your, what and, were your 3 points?
And oh, no, but, right now, hold on. No, that
what
was
were
my
your three points.
Points. That was my 3 points. My 3 points was about life, social. It's all about social. 2 points is about the women dressing. And this is my question to all. When we say baggage, what do we mean by that? I want to ask that question to somebody.
You got preconceived notions on the new person you meet based on your past experience.
Right.
That's baggage.
Right. Right. So baggage is experiences. So that means so is all your experiences good?
No, usually baggage is considered a negative thing.
Right, but it derives from your experience, right? So baggage is an experience.
Like you said, yeah, whether good or bad, yes, it's an experience. Absolutely.
But it's usually
right.
considered a negative thing.
Yeah,
you're right.
Right. So my point of saying this is we have to even watch our experiences, our passes. For instance, if I'm dated a girl who had a couple of tattoos and she wore a weave and she was nasty, doesn't mean that I meet another woman who has tattoos and wear weave, she's going to be nasty. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's form of profiling, man. That's profiling. We need to quit profiling.
Right, that's all I'm saying. Right, that's all I wanted to make my point, Wes. Thank you. I'm trying to talk.
Okay. Well, I heard somebody mention a few minutes ago about people are saying that, you know, the way Beyonce dresses, except me personally, I don't see why so many people are so fascinated with that woman to me. I don't get it. Because this is my opinion about her. She dresses like a whore. And I mean, if I'm coming there to hear you sing, you ain't got to be dressed up like a hoe. You ain't got to sit in a chair with your legs wide open towards the TV or the stage or whatever. I don't have to see that. You know, if I'm coming to hear your voice, I ain't got to see your personal.
That's
but
right.
If somebody... If they get off on that, then that's just them, you know. But no, that type of woman, I wouldn't have that type of woman.
Okay.
What a woman that's confident about her sexuality and her sexual charm. And
it has nothing to do with confidence about sexuality, man. Like I said, you selling a hoe. That's all you selling.
What
are you saying anymore?
guys said that they sat down and listened to her. They sat there and watched her do her little Super Bowl thing because they wanted to see her sit there and spread her legs wide open.
And those that wanted to see.
Mace,
you shouldn't
you
get mad with them.
Try to defend this all
you
want
shouldn't
to.
Get mad with them. I'm
know,
not defending. I'm saying that's
you
old people.
Know,
what is it got to do with them?
You know there's no way in the world you would be accepting anything like that. And if it was
the
your
ones
side,
that accepted was
what, I don't
the
see
ones
what
that
the
accepted
big,
was the ones
the
in the room. I don't know why it's got something to do with you. It's not your wife.
Right.
Men can go to
the
places and throw dollars all around on these women. If men wouldn't spend their money on them, we wouldn't even see them.
Well, Lowe's, you're the one who made that statement. You're always calling bees and hoes. You seem to be fascinated with them.
Wait.
You seem to be fascinated with them.
Well, first, I don't always do anything. You can say what you want.
Okay, the majority of the time when you refer to women, you call them bees and hoes. So in my opinion, you seem to be fascinated with that type of woman.
Well, in your opinion,
like
it don't matter. Your opinion don't matter.
No.
But when I'm listening to you, because you're on a show I'm on a show that you're on, and your constant reference to women is bees and hoes.
And I hate to say it like this, but that's a damn lie. I don't always refer to women as bitches. Why you?
What do real women look like, Lo? What kind of clothes does she wear?
What kind of clothes does she wear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that a woman should dress conservative.
You think what?
I don't think that she should wear a skirt way up her thigh. I don't think that. And every time she get ready to stand up, she got to pull it down. It's so tight. I don't think that a woman should wear. Personally, I don't think. Well, not personally.
I don't think
she should wear.
What kind
of pants?
What kind of a perfect woman would look like to you? I ain't asking what a woman should wear because they wear what they want to wear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you asking me my opinion, and then
of what a woman should look like to you. Should she wear a long dress, a short dress, pants, or what?
I think she should wear a long dress.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how this got to where it is and what it has. I guess
it's
this a point.
Can I tell you what a gentleman should look like, a real man should look like?
No, tell you cannot. You don't want to hear that.
Okay. This is how it won't let me, so I won't tell you.
I mean.
Tarzan.
Really? Really?
No,
like Tarzan Maze?
Hold on. Wait. Here's something interesting. Now, all this stuff we talked about, right, and the different examples y'all use, whatever, but isn't that what life is all about right there? Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, just
choice.
Everything you talk
everybody
about.
Has a different opinion. Yes.
Right. Does that make, I mean, does that make the life a journey? An interesting journey? Could you say that?
Variety
of
an individual? Life.
Yeah.
So, no one to see women with long dresses and stuff, he needs to go find a cat. But he ain't going to find her because everybody's going to be looking at him. But that's not the guy he seems to be watching.
I bet he don't hold the door for him no more.
Well, the person that should be looking at them will be looking at them, not everybody else.
Oh.
So when next time I talk to you, I tell you what a gentleman would look like, sound like to you.
I can't.
Okay. Wait. So with that being said, and low with the ones you describe, do you think they're predetermined to actually be that way, dressed like that, you know, the way you're talking about?
What do you
because
mean?
Because of their economic surrounding, environment? Because of the environment they brought into?
They can only afford a $6 outfit or $12 outfit. So they're going to dress
not,
up.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
Wait.
Now, basically what I'm saying, take two different individuals. Okay, you take the first female. She's born in an affluent family, nice neighborhood, and she dresses the part. Then you take another female, and this related to the guys too, y'all. I want y'all to think I'm going one way or the other. And, you know, he's born in what they consider low-income housing. So then he's dressing the part that he sees over there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, who says that either one of them cannot switch places?
Of course they can switch places.
Which makes life a journey, correct?
Right. Okay. And rich girls dress like hoochies too, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And where you are,
and they say
everybody.
Tell me about all 39 million people that live in California so you can make some sense.
You know what? I want to say something. And I want to say something. And times have changed. In high school, they taught us, I remember, they used to tell the women, don't go to an interview dressing hoodies like a hoe and all that type of stuff. Don't be OT makeup. Don't bling bling. They taught us that in school.
Unless
right?
you're trying to get a
I'm
job.
I'm letting you know.
Up.
Exactly. They taught us that. I'm letting you know, in current interviews, women are coming there with the dresses all above their knees. People got tattoos no more. You can't discriminate. Business people, when they come off, they got tattoos all in corporate world. Art is a new, different world. People need to get out of their old concepts. People got tattoos. People discriminate with people with tattoos. Real smart. Can you do the job? Can you do the trade? I'm letting you know it's different out here, but some people want to be in their own sets of ways and have their own standard, and then that's life. That's the
right.
That's the title of your show.
Well, Mike, I have to agree with you this time. I truly do. My daughter can speak four different languages fluently, as smart as a whip, and she got a tattoo, and I was so angry.
I can't stand them, but listen, I don't like them.
My sons have begged me, Mom, I want to give you a tattoo. And they grown, they married, they got their own families, and they still, Mom,
right.
I want to give you a tattoo. I want to get a tattoo. And I'm like, no. But my daughter, with her grown self, just went
and
did
it. I'm not going to say I can't love nobody.
Where's the tattoo on her neck? On her face?
No, it's on her back.
A little tramp stamp?
That's
not
a big
deal. It's a military thing with her grandfather's name on there.
So I was wrong. I was wrong when I said a woman shouldn't dress provocatively, but somebody just said, oh, that tattoo on her back is a tramp stamp.
I didn't say it was a tramp stamp. I did not say that. I
said
I just
said
that.
Did I say you said that?
I don't
hold
know
on.
How
let
you
tell
said
you
it, but I can tell you one thing. You better stop raising your voice at me.
Yeah, would you? Let me tell you
I
one thing.
I beg your pardon.
Just what I said. Ooh.
Hold on.
You,
boy, you better go sit in
the
child's place.
I'm going to. Got to go with that. And I told y'all. Y'all good now? Everybody done calmed down?
Hey, now, what do you mean by provocatively? Do you mean that a woman, when she wears something, someone can see her figure, her
head?
I mean, do you want her to walk around like a Muslim woman, covered, fully covered? Because I'm letting you know, I work out. And if a woman's going to be with me, she's going to be in the gym. And I'm letting you know, women that's in the gym, when they wear something, I'm not saying they're going to wear, show all their titties and breasts. Come on. But it's a modest thing. Well, they're going to show them curves, bro. I'm letting you know. And I'm letting, when I'm with them, I'm confident. I know who I'm with. If a man's looking at what I got, who's going home at the end of the night? I am. Only thing I say, no woman is ever, look, you already know how you live. Never act like you looking at somebody else. You already know you look good. I already know I look good, bro. I'm just saying, man, it has to be a balance.
I don't know, man. Life, man, the system is all
Hello?
Against us. They done brainwashed all of us, and the system's all against us.
And when
and
they don't work out,
no,
and when
you
they don't
job,
work out, they call us fat pigs.
Michael, can he finish, please?
And you got to work all day, and you get a job, and then you got to pay rent, and then you got to feed yourself. I'd rather just grow some corn.
You got corn on your feet already. What? It's growing on your feet already.
Mr. Thomas?
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing? Just one minute. My son would like to contribute.
Okay.
Hello,
come
please,
on
brother.
Hello, how you doing?
Greetings.
I'm fine, and you? I just want to comment on what y'all was just talking about, the young women and how we influence them. Now, I'm a young man. I'm 25 years old. And I've dealt with a lot of women and pay attention to the culture and the way we conduct ourselves out here. And like the brother just said, brainwashed is a very important key. We brainwashed out here. You got men that want to compromise with with righteousness and wickedness. And the key thing is, what is life about? And I feel like us as a people, if we know who we are and being children of God, then we should represent that. We shouldn't be okay with our women running around out here half naked and all that stuff. Right? Just like a Muslim or not. It's about being a child of God. And also, we do influence our women and even the youth out here. I pay attention to the girls as teenagers out here. They know what men like. And we know as a fact that men as a majority, we like to have naked women, the ones that's showing something. So even our young girls are acting like this, running around half naked and acting like hoes, so to speak. You know what I mean? So we do have to pay attention to our influence on our women and youth out here.
So how do you say what about the tribes in Africa that's running half naked? But listen,
are we
talking
about
a woman? Okay, no, hold on. Wait. A half naked woman does not have to give that poo-poo tank up. She can...
Michael.
But listen, the mindset of the Africans over there dressing like that are not like us over here. When we look at a woman, we trying to fornicate and do something to her. The culture over there, they're not thinking like that.
How do women dress like that when it's 7 degrees in Detroit?
Because they're ignorant like that. We like
it.
That's
what I'm saying. Not every man likes to see a woman dressed like that. Some men don't.
I don't. I like them dressed conservative.
I'm not saying every man, but the majority of men like that.
Oh, okay.
They can dress.
I mean,
they can dress how they want to dress.
Like that.
Hey, brother. And older. We like the ones that show.
Not what's on their body. It's what's in their head. Some of them think.
Yeah,
that's true. Some of them.
Rather
now, we actually live up to that. That's what matters. Half the time of us, a lot of us talk that good stuff, but we're on the streets.
Why do the young men can I ask you another question? Why do the young men that got plenty of sense walk around with their pants hanging down, but they got plenty of sense?
They must not have that much sense because they damn sure don't look like it.
They just want to follow. Why do they do that?
They look dumb.
I mean, I don't know.
To me.
A lot of them, you got some people that say that this, it just became a part of our culture. But me, myself, I think it's...
I don't know your pants
up. Who is that? I would have to ask him.
I'm asking a human that knows because he's a young man and he's with the crowd. That's why I'm asking him a question.
Right. I mean, it is... You know, to me, it's playing ignorance, you know. But you got some people that believe it just became the whole youth hip-hop culture thing. You know, but it's not a cool thing to me, because even on that level,
that's what I'm on. Sir, may I ask a question? You know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you something, sir. So you just said it's ignorant, but I can look at taboo and I can say it's ignorant, but it's a fact. You can't deny it, whether I like it or I don't like it. My sons don't do it. I think it's not logical, okay? But it's a part of the ethnic group. That's why. That's one of the reasons why Trayvon Martin, that's why. Hold up. Listen to me. Listen to me. That's one reason why Trayvon Martin is dead. Because someone looked the way he was dressed, said he's ignorant, they prejudged him, and they did not watch his actions, sir. And I'm letting you know, whether I agree with it or you disagree with it, that is a part of their culture and ethnicity. You cannot deny
no,
by definition,
yes,
sir.
Yes, it is.
In the culture and ethnicity.
Yes,
that's a
like
fact.
That
well, you don't do it, slam. Mace, you're not educating yourself about it. Listen. Whether I like it or not, that's their culture and that's their ethnicity or part of a group of individuals. That's a fact. You can't deny it.
That's not a fact. And I'll tell you why it's not a fact. Because I'm gonna tell you who really made the thing popular on television. Tupac really made that thing popular on television.
And what culture has not been made by man, sir? Everyone, you know, every culture, every ethnicity started from somewhere, bro. Don't tell me.
Can you let me know? All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir. Finish what you're saying.
All I'm saying is you didn't have as much of that until you had Tupac was a dancer. In the beginning, behind Digital Underground. He wasn't doing nothing. Then all of a sudden, there was an idea that sprang out. Oh, we can make you a thug. You can make movies. You can be a star. You can lead hip-hop culture. You can brainwash these younger people and older people, because you got people in their 40s that grew up doing that, dressing a certain way. You can do all of these things. And so they used that man to usher in
walking around with your pants way off of your behind. And now it's just a common thing to see people doing that. It just started with him pretty much. I mean, you didn't really see groups like NWA and other groups. They didn't really wear their clothes like that.
I'm so glad I didn't grow up in Louisiana. Let me tell you where that started. That whole thing started from Juvenile Hall in Los Angeles. And when you would go to Juvenile Hall, they'd make you take off your belt and your shoestrings so that you didn't hang yourself. That's where it started from. And that's the early 70s, and that's 20 years before Tupac and television.
I'm not
the Mexican kids that I went to school with started popularizing that stuff. It was Mexican kids, so ethnicity doesn't have anything to do with it. It was Mexican kids. I'm telling you where it really started from. You're talking about some Hollywood image that you got down in Louisiana 20 years late.
I'm talking about is the fact that it got – you talking about one little place in California.
I'm talking about where the whole sickness of not wearing a belt in your pants and your ass hanging out – where it started from.
You're thinking it started from Tupac.
It didn't start from Tupac.
If you'll listen to what I'm saying what I'm saying is it got popular worldwide through him.
It didn't get popular
worldwide through the two or three Mexican kids that you talked
about. That's where it started, though.
I don't care where it started. I'm saying where it got popular.
So why are you mentioning Tupac? Because then you're saying that's where it started. That's where you thought it started.
I said that's where it got popular at. I didn't come over here to
fagging
argue,
in
man.
Los Angeles
but
and wearing their pants around their ass in the 70s. Way before
Mr. Beasley.
Tupac.
Mr. Beasley.
Way before Tupac.
It started when the kids passing one down to the other one. They had to hold their pants up with their hands.
Juvenile Hall.
Somebody was saying, talking to Mr. Beasley. You had a question for
Beasley? That was me.
Okay, go
ahead. That was me. I just wanted to say, you know, when we look at what we see out here on the streets, this is activity that would never have survived in our community 40 years ago, and it's because we have lost our self-respect. When I was coming up, nobody had tattoos but pole white trash. Now we wear everything. We put different languages on our bodies. We do all kinds. We done gone to the extreme. We done went over the top with it. So it's about our humanity. Where is the self-respect?
I don't have any tattoos. I don't even have my ears pierced.
I'm not talking to you directly.
I'm
just saying that we don't have self-respect anymore. Our humanity has been lost, and that
is what
we need to recapture.
It's not lost. We just don't use it.
I
use my humanity. I'm saying that people are not consciously aware that they have lost their humanity. Self-respect.
Right.
Self-respect.
Right. You got a point. They didn't have the older folks in their ass nonstop like most of us did. Things aren't what they used to be.
All right.
But no, there were certain things that the older folks just wouldn't let you get away with.
Well, you're right.
And they stayed steadfast hard on you. And there was no break.
That's right. It sure wasn't.
There was no break. Was no exception.
Mm.
And they united. And they would stick together from your parents to your grandparents to your uncles. They would stick together. So, you know. This is what it is. This generation now, this younger generation, 25 and older, is it their fault that they didn't get any guidance, or is it our fault for not taking the time and the effort to try to instill some respect in them, some self-respect? I don't know.
Mm. Good questions, and I will try and answer that. I don't know if it's our fault, if it's even their fault. Maybe it's just something that's determined in the cycle of generations. You know, because I was thinking the other day about some of the things I did as a youngster coming up that my parents thought were just asinine, you know. But yet, you know, they were like, okay. You know, so is it their fault or is it just something else going on? I don't know. But it's, what, 20 minutes after the hour, and I know we got some other places to be, so we're going to go ahead and let y'all get your last words in, and then we're going to get up out of here. All right, so we're going to start with Mr. Solution. Mr. Solution, your last word, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Great topic, though. Excellent topic. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. All right. Let's see. James, you there? James, going once, going twice. All right, James is out of there. All right, let's see. Wesley, your last word, sir. Wesley, going once, going twice. Okay. Mays, you up?
Well, it's easy to say. It's not their fault because people didn't teach them what they got. It's the fault of the people that's complaining. Because people got upset because they don't want nobody to touch their child. And all of the different things happen. That's why we see what we see now. Unless you kept up what you learned and pass it on to the next group that you came about, that's why we see what we see.
Okay.
Have
interesting.
A good day.
All right. Thank you, May. All right. Who next up? Sister Ottawa.
Well, I just want to say that we are going to be elderly. And rather than being put into a nursing home, I will be on the streets teaching.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad thing. Anything else?
No. Have a good evening.
All right.
Bye-bye,
thank
sis.
You.
All right.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Beasley, your last word, sir.
Yeah, a couple of the ladies seemed to take exception when I was speaking in an admonishing tone to the 22-year-old dude that doesn't think he has a responsibility to take care of himself, and he really doesn't. And I've heard him on other shows, and it pains me to hear someone talk like that. It pains me to hear a young man talk like that, not realizing or just not accepting the fact that life's not going to be easy, and you have a responsibility to take care of yourself. If you want any type of peace, you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself. And I hear everything coming out of that boy's mouth except, how do I take care of myself? How do I find my way to function in the world? We can all complain about everything until we're blue in the face. At the end of the day, we've got some responsibilities as adults, and you got to take care of yourself. That's all.
All righty. Thank you, sir. You have a good one. All right. And Miss Antoinette.
Well, it was a good show, Mr. Talk. And the only thing I can say is that we went from what is life to the standards of life, the standards of living, which I guess, you know, is supposed to be what life is. It's based on your standard of living. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, y'all, very interesting show. And, you know, Antoinette said it best. We went from the question, what is life, to the standard of life. And maybe that does play a big part in what your definition of life is. That's the way I look at it anyway. Co-host, what you think about all that?
Well, I think we had some very interesting and diverse points of view about life. As usual, we have these kinds of dynamic conversations on your show, Mr. Talk. And I'd like to thank everybody for their perspective. And I don't think anybody really can, you know, determine what life is for someone else. And as far as being pained, hearing what someone else is reflecting on in their life, you know, I think they have a right to be able to express it without being attacked, that's all. But anyway, thanks everybody for coming, and I'd like to say goodbye, but my chat room is frozen up. Guess I was a little bit too busy in the chat room today.
Yeah, you need to refresh.
Well, I'm afraid I'll lose it, and I want to copy the chat, so I'll just
Say. Also, tell them how they can reach you in case somebody want to send you something.
All righty. My email address is ngonea@yahoo.com. That's ngonea@yahoo.com. Please put Mr. Talk Show on the subject line, and I'd be happy to reply if you care to correspond.
All right. Thank you. All righty. Thank you, co-host. And as always, you did a great job. All right. Well, y'all, it's about time to get up out of here. Life. What is life? Life is a journey that can only be made separately by the individual. Some of it may be predetermined. Some of it may not be. But it's still what you decide it is. You know, we all have these great expectations as what to expect from life. But life is not, is never anything as normal as you can say, because there's always twists and turns, you know, in anybody's life. I guess the biggest thing is, how do you handle those twists and turns? Do you succumb to them, or do you use it as a stepping stone and better yourself? What is life? Very interesting. Life is what you make it, I guess. I guess that saying is true. Life is what you make it. Well, that's all. That was my last words anyway. All right, y'all. Tomorrow's show, Freedom Friday. Y'all know how that roll. Open conversation. Whatever you talk about, we want to talk about, we'll talk about. No topic is off limits here on Let's Talk. All right. Don't forget, after this, my show, stop by Ebony Empress. She has a show today. You know, support my sister. She has a pretty good show on Thursdays for sure. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me, y'all. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. Make sure that you've forgiven yourself first before you can forgive anybody else. And my biggest thing, laugh at yourself sometimes. If you laugh at yourself, you'd be surprised how little things won't bother you anymore. All right? Well, until tomorrow, y'all, we're going to get up out of here. 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. We gonna see you then. Later.
Bye-bye.